Welcome to Northeast Colorado Talks here on Farm Radio 1010 KSIR and KSIR.com. I'm Chris Braum. My guest today, State Representative Dusty Johnson, joins us this morning. Good morning, Dusty. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Good morning to you as well, and happy Good Friday.
Yes, happy Good Friday indeed. Easter weekend is upon us, and you and I were just talking before we went on. You guys get a bit of a reprieve this weekend.
We do, and what that means is we have 3 days that we will not be in session, and as much as we would, you know, I'm willing to work, you know, as long hours as we need. When we don't have days on the calendar, it means they can't keep pushing things through. So it is a good relief. We get 3 days break, and then we'll go back with less than 19 days left.
Hard to believe, down to less than 3 weeks away from the end of the session. Feels like we were just talking about the start of the session, and now time is winding down, which usually means the busiest stretch for you guys when everything kind of all hits at once.
Yes, these days will seem like weeks. Because they'll start pushing things through, and here in about a week and a half, they'll put special orders on us, meaning they can push things through faster. In Colorado, we have the rule that it can only do one action a day for a bill, meaning if it's heard in a committee, it cannot be heard on the floor the same day. We cannot do second reading or third reading votes in the same day. When they do special orders, it means we could push bills through both chambers instead of that 3 days in each chamber, which equals 6 days. They can get it through as fast as 3 days for a bill.
Which, as we learned just a couple of years ago in the midst of the property tax debacle and all that, three days generally isn't enough time to really get a good feel for what's in a bill and how that bill operates and what the negatives of that bill might be.
Right. And you say that, I know you mean 3 days for both chambers, but even if we get in with, you know, me reaching out to all 7 counties, other members reaching out to all of their districts, getting everyone on board to look at what's going on to see if we like it or don't like it. So this is where all those communications, all the roundtables, everything I've heard, when we have, you know, we might be doing a committee and then voting on it in the same day within 2 hours. It really is everything that, you know, we learn from our districts is right then and there because we don't have time to reach back.
And obviously, as a result of that, you end up with some less than ideal pieces of legislation that are probably not as non-problems from that as well.
Correct. And we see that a lot. Every bills they just did the last year, and then they say, oh, maybe we shouldn't have rushed it. And then they go and rush other pieces of legislation. So lessons learned don't mean that we actually learn from them as we move forward.
I was going to say, you may have learned the lesson, but you certainly don't see it put into practice very often.
That's a better way to put it, yes.
With that in mind, since you guys have the 3 day weekend ahead of you guys, where are we kind of at right now? I see the gun legislation passed and that was signed into law, and that's kind of been at the forefront of everybody's conversation. Things that you've been involved with or that you're keeping close watch on as we get down to these final few days of the session.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned that that piece of legislation for those following, it's 003. We just did a press release and sent a letter to U.S. Attorney General, hoping to get federal input on this and to speed it up through the U.S. courts, recognizing that the state courts have denied our request for them to look at the constitutionality of it. So we are now using the judicial branch side of things to make sure we do have checks and balances. And oftentimes in Colorado, when legislation goes through, that is, we're probably safe to assume unconstitutional. That's where we're going to rely on the judicial. Aside from that, though, for other bills coming forward, I'm working on one right now, another one trying to make sure when we're looking at affordability and healthcare, especially for rural Colorado, but this will affect the whole state. My bill will allow for patients and doctors to better up or decrease their medical dosages for their medications dealing with chronic issues without needing to do extra paperwork with insurance companies. So once an insurance company approves a certain medication for a chronic issue, this bill will then say if you need to decrease or increase that, you will not need that reauthorization by the insurance, and the doctor can do what a doctor does and watch your body, watch the lab saying, okay, well, it's overworking, let's decrease it, or we're getting good results, but because of the issues you're facing, let's increase it so we can get you to a healthier place. This will allow for that flexibility so doctors do what doctors do best without all the extra paperwork that insurance pushes.
All right. So where are we at in the process with that bill in particular?
It's in the Senate. We just got a lot of co-sponsors, meaning you have prime sponsors leading the bill. And now we have members who are helping us push it, that will help push us through smoother, saying this is a need. The more co-sponsors we get shows the more need we have in Colorado, because we have other people saying that their districts are asking for it as well. So estimated to see it next week in Senate Health and on Second. And then if not by Third, the week after, and then we'll see it through the House.
All right. Well, it seems like that's at least on the right track. What else are you working on?
Working on making sure that we just did a bill in conjunction with Long Bill that we just finished. So funding the state is what Long Bill does. And I'm excited to say we are going to fully fund all education in Colorado this year. I know in the beginning of the year when we talked about it, I was very concerned that we might be doing the budget cuts off of the backs of children, which is never okay. And with this new finance act that just passed yesterday in the House on Third and being sent to the Senate to be heard first thing next week, we actually are going to see $25 million increase for our 25 school districts collectively. They don't all get that amount individually. Here in Northeast Colorado and then across the state, we're seeing increases for school districts as well.
I know that's good news for folks involved in education, but still, I think there's still some hurdles for them to overcome as well, because I know a lot of discussion about budget cuts to make sure that they can still fit within the funding that they have. So, yeah, it's not quite out of the woods yet for those school districts, but it's good news regardless.
Yeah, no, not out of the woods, but I know original talks were, and I fought hard, specifically for five of our districts that we thought were going to see decreases instead of increases. So we're just happy to say that no schools this year are going to see state funds are not going to see a decrease. I know they're still tough, you know, because we have inflation, trying to figure out as, you know, classrooms grow or infrastructure gets worse. There are other budgeting needs. I'm just happy to say that the state level is not going to take away money from schools this year. We actually increased.
That's always always good to hear. Dusty, when you guys get back from this 3-day holiday break and you turn towards those final, little over 2 weeks before the session ends, are there a couple of bills or anything in particular that you're kind of going to be keeping an eye on, keeping close watch of, be involved with that may try to sneak through in a short period of time?
Yes, so we're going to see things coming through either the Senate or the House, because they just went through the Senate or House. A bill that is going to say that it's no longer a crime if you don't report to court when you get summoned. So that's an issue that we're strongly fighting against, because as you're well aware, I mean, as we're decreasing penalties and now we're saying, well, it's no longer going to be a felony or a charge if you don't report to court, we're starting to lose a lot of that structure of how do we hold people accountable. And then we wonder why crime is going up. So we're watching that one very closely. We're still watching bills to see how they want to, pulling it up really quick, because we just did like 20 of them on the floor yesterday. But we want to make sure they're not taking money from our landlords. So we're still seeing bills that are penalizing landowners, property owners, for tenants. It's safe to say, I mean, every single year we have at least 5, if not 10 bills protecting tenant rights. But every time we do that, we're taking away landlord rights. So we're seeing, especially, you know, Eastern Colorado, I can say specifically, we're losing people who are willing to rent or lease their property for people to have a house. And then we're having more shortage in housing. So it's trying to explain that to a lot of these colleagues when they're offering more bills that take away the rights of property owners. One of them being they want to make it where every property, new property coming in, would have to allow for a pet. pet. I have a pet, but pets can be destructive. If you have allergies, there are cleanup costs. And if someone doesn't want to put their property through an unruly pet, I mean, some pets are very well behaved, some are not. And they decide to take that off the market now. You're no longer helping people with pets because you're taking away houses for those without, which shorts the markets. So we're trying to explain all of these things that they're doing, saying it might be, might sound good, but look how it's actually causing negative effects.
Yeah, that's and that's always, again, going back to our conversation about speeding up the process and trying to get things through in as short a period of time as possible. Those are kind of the things that we talk about that are brought up in those conversations, those committee hearings, those second and third readings, is like you mentioned, the things that sound good initially, or the thought is well intentioned, but the practice or the process of implementing those isn't always feasible or isn't always in the best interest of the people. And so that's the reason that those timelines are put in place, is so that those discussions can be had, right?
Exactly. And honestly, a lot of these bills coming through, we keep asking, I mean, I ask my colleagues, why is this the proper role of government, state government? You could look at that at a local level. You could look at it in special districts. You could just let the free market decide if that's something people need. We're seeing a lot of, they joke at us at the well now, but it's a nanny state of every time we hear someone call into an office, any of the district offices, so all the representatives or senators, and they hear one issue, it becomes a knee-jerk, we could fix this with a bill. Well, if that's your first thought, then that's usually where it becomes a bad bill.
That's a good point. Not everything does require legislation in order to be fixed. And like you said, a lot of that stuff can be tackled at the local level, or again, doesn't even necessarily have to be legislatively dictated. It could just be a discussion that's had that leads to some potential changes.
Exactly. And it's, and I'm honestly surprised. There are some colleagues that we, that I have under the Gold Dome who, they have not had a town hall. They haven't had a round table. They very much believe that once they're elected, that anything they do is representing the voice of the people without checking in. And then when they call into their office or send an email like that, they're like, oh, we could fix it and be the hero without checking in and seeing who is it going to affect across the board.
Or even getting maybe both sides of the story, because, again, you're only hearing one side of a particular issue on those phone calls or emails or whatever. You're not getting necessarily both sides of what the situation might be.
Correct. And that's where, I mean, some of these bills we hear, and these are you know, the good ones, where we've had two bills just go through, actually, to help address the opioid crisis that we have in Colorado. Because we do have, you know, I hate to say it, but we do have a mental health issue, a behavior health issue. Opioids are on the rise, and not the good opioids when you're in surgery, but being overused and abused. So a couple of these bills, one I think has taken 3 years to get fully vetted out. Another one has taken 2 years to get fully vetted out, and it's to allow for opioid education in our schools, just so that way, because it's not a what if, it's going to be a when if. Or when it happens, students can recognize how to get the proper people to help. If they see one of their friends starting to act, you know, act weird, start to look like they're about to go, you know, go dizzy or seizure, or they faint. We hear so many youth, because they do share medications. They're not supposed to. You're never supposed to take medication for anyone. But you see it happen. And so we're getting that education and saying, if this happens, these are what you're supposed to do. So we're getting that education, and as much as it's sad that we need it, I'm glad we're finally getting it, and we're starting those conversations saying this is an issue, please don't share medications. If a medical issue arises, no one's going to be at fault, please just get help. Teaching teachers what signs to look for, you know, when it does happen. So we do have those good bills coming through as well.
Well, and like you said, it's sad that we have to have that kind of legislation working its way through the system. But unfortunately, that's kind of where we find ourselves at the moment. And like you said, it's kind of on two fronts. You've got to handle the issue as it happens now, but also find ways to prevent it from getting worse. So certainly not an easy task there. Dusty, I know we've got just a couple of minutes left. The next time we talk, the session will be complete. So what does that mean for you once the session wraps up? Kind of what's your plan from that point?
Yeah, so I'm going to start filling up my calendar, not with committees or floor work. Starting to look again for, any commissioner meetings, community events, doing more, community roundtables, doing tours of a lot of the businesses that I know have been affected, whether good or bad, from legislation this year, and start to talk about how that's going to be implemented going forward. So I'll be very much boots on the ground, thankfully, back in district. So you'll start seeing me a lot more out here in the Northeast, and I'm excited for that. And then also doing a lot of aftermath of what bills went through, calculating those in Excel sheets. What does this mean? What messages can my office send getting ready for them? Because if they're passed, they're going to come through. Are there ways to mitigate, the effects coming through? Are there ways to better prepare, all of us out here for bills we didn't want, and kind of get some information out to people that way?
Very good stuff. And as always, if folks want to reach out to you with questions, concerns, et cetera, again, talking about hearing from your constituents in some form or another, how can they do that?
Yeah, the best way would be to go to my website, which is Dusty, D-U-S-T-Y, for F-O-R, Colorado.com. So Dusty for Colorado.com. On that website, you'll see my email, my cell phone. If you like social media, you'll see all my platforms. If you want to send me a hard address, you'll see where the address is. So you can send me, files if you want to. So all the information to get a hold of me with the avenue that works best for you will be on my website, dusty4colorado.com.
Easy enough. Well, Dusty, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out of your day today. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you so much. And I hope this, rainy snow that we have in Fort Morgan right now heads out that way to you, and we can get some moisture as we're in spring, but we haven't felt like spring just yet.
Absolutely. Dusty, thanks again. Once again, Dusty Johnson, State Representative for House District 63, our guest here on Northeast Colorado Talks, and I'm Chris Braum on Farm Radio 1010 KSIR and online at KSIR.com.